How are you doing today? Oh, it's been a busy day here at the farm. I'm trying not to get political and I'm trying not to say much, but there are days when you just want to shake your head at the world. But I'll get into that in a minute. First, I'd just like to invite you to sit down. I made a wonderful fire and I have some hot tea here. And just settle your mind and say, it's a good day to be. This is Isa Logic Radio and your host, Patricia Cleveland. And we're here to talk about some of the hidden things in nature that sometimes come through our animals to influence us. And also how the reverse sometimes happens, how we influence our animals. But the bottom line is how do we make this system work better? And animals aren't political and they don't really have major agendas about reshaping society or incomes or all the stuff that gets in the middle of our minds. No, they just enjoy being who they are. They enjoy interacting and having social relationships with their friends. And they enjoy the world of energy that surrounds them, the expanse, the things that our senses don't really pick up on, the sense of spirit, the understanding that there's a whole lot more to life than just the physical world. In the veterinary field, they're having all these squabbles. They're fighting over whether giving a drug is better than giving a homeopathic remedy. And the whole thing to me just, oh man, it's such a silly conversation. The bottom line is if you actually look at the sign that represents medical practice, it's called the caduceus. And in this sign is a lot of information that I think once upon a time, the people who were healers, the people who adopted the sign of Caduceus, the wing, two wings, the serpent, the rod, and the globe, I think they understood the meaning of energy and the pathways that energy follows to go through the body. Somehow that's been lost because if we were actually practicing energy medicine or medicine was actually designed today to heal, we wouldn't be having this redundant squabble over whether an energy-based remedy is better than a chemical-based remedy. You see, it's what you make of it. It's what you believe in. If you believe that a pill or a drug is going to help you, then believe in it and hold it true to your heart. Because in your belief, you create your own reality. And if you believe that a homeopathic remedy is going to help, then use it and believe in it. Be honest with yourself. And pull into who you are, the things that you need. You see, there was an experiment done, I think I've spoke about it before, but it was in 1790, done by Dr. Young. And he basically said, showed the world of science, which was governed by religion during his lifetime. He showed everybody that, hey, we have the ability to influence outcomes. We, humans, have the power to change or create whatever it is we choose to believe in. So if you choose to believe in one system over another, great. But don't deny the people who believe in the other thing from their belief. Allow things to be. Allow the energy that it supports you and create your physical reality. Allow it to be. And instead of pushing and shoving, being angry, taking sides, take a breath and say, and hold compassion in your heart. Because the debate doesn't matter. Both sides, if they are honest to their craft, are trying to achieve the same thing. The problem is, are they being honest to the craft of healing? See, healing arts have been around since way, way before the written word of man. The healing craft is the sign of Caduceus. And in Caduceus, you see all the magic and all the power that identifies the healing system of every living thing on this planet. But you see, science has taken over and it's stopped thinking about energy and it's really interfering, at least from my belief system, in how the world can stay balanced. Good efforts are always made. Yes, the doctor always tries to do his best. The chemist who makes up the drugs is always trying to do his best because they're trying to use physical compounds to create a little pocket of balance. Say the blood needs to be rebalanced, and they work on that, and they do a good job. But they don't realize that the problem in the blood, well, that's just a symptom of something else being wrong. And if you track that problem to the second symptom, then you will find a third symptom and a fourth symptom. And that's why people finally end up on so many drugs, because we're trying to balance the physical body. But if you look at the symbol of Caduceus, it's full of energy. It doesn't speak about a physical body at all. It's the rod of Aaron. It's the wings or the two hemispheres of the brain. It's the snakes, the thalamus, and it is the globe, the heart and soul, the place, the origin of our thoughts. So, in medicine, in the physical form, we're ignoring the fact that the very sign that represents the craft, well, it's talking about energy and has nothing to do with adding drugs or making up operations. You see, we are energy. The quantum world of physics says we are actually made up of particles of light, photons. And for anybody who's looked at TV, you'll see LED lights being up for sale to make your aches and pains go away. Well, those are photons. Those are little particles of light. And they go through your body. And they talk to the cells. And they do just as good a job as a painkiller. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? I learned about LED light, oh, geez, in 1987. And I learned how to use it on horses and humans. And you can do some amazing things. Actually, for anybody who suffers from diabetic neuropathy, you might want to look into LED lights because has been proven to be the only therapy that will drive the circulation and help support the regeneration of damaged nerves. Yes, all of this energy and politics, you just sit back and think, how strange. How did I end up on this planet in this mess at this time? Oh, just say, and breathe deep. Let it all go. I'm going to take a break. Don't go far. Remember me, Patricia Cleveland at ESOLOGIC.com. Radio. We're back. Oh, what a day. You know, I look at all this stuff going on in the world, and all of us sit back and we have all this energy stuff going on. And yet we really don't seem to go out and use it very much. I mean, we talk about it. We think about it. We meditate on it. And we try to help each other in really gentle, soft ways. Have we actually looked at the effects? Because you see, we're focusing a lot on the really good stuff. And it's like we kind of turned our back and said, I don't want to deal with that darkness, that negative stuff. And your dog or your cat will sit there and go, but you need to. You need to look at both sides of this. Because you see, we're energy bodies. And yes, we're made out of photons, little particles of light. But they're used to hold our physical form. But our physical form is actually supported and directed by two forces. One is the electrical field, and the other one is the magnetic field. And those same fields operate your animals. Except I think the animals have a different understanding or clarity about actually how their bodies work. Yes. Energy in the body, the positive and the negative. And both those charges, whether it's electrical energy, which actually surges forth like a shot, and it's straight, and it's strong, and it's powerful. Or there's magnetic energy that's softer, and it swirls and spirals. And the electrical field can move right through the center of the magnetic field. Just like having fluid in your spine and sitting in front of your computer. Those fields will influence your spinal cord, the fluid that goes up to your mind. Yes. And just think, within your body you have an electrical system, and your brain operates off of the electrical system, and your animal's body works off this electrical system. Just think, when your animal cuts itself, often it'll want to go, ouch, and then kind of quiver a little bit. Sometimes when the dog gets kicked by a horse here at the farm, they'll scream for a minute and they'll think they were dying because it hurts so much. And then they'll sit down and all of a sudden everything's fine. They know it's okay. But if they get cut, they'll stop and they'll lick their wound. They'll clean themselves off. And then they pick themselves up and go back to work. And then they'll sit down again and lick their wound. And the more they lick the wound, the faster it heals. And this is based on how the electrical body speaks to the brain and how the brain speaks to the cells in your bones. It's quite an amazing thing, the healing process. And when you hold the idea that your brain has an electrical charge to it, and every time, say, you cut your finger and you go, ouch, and it's painful for a few minutes, that spark of energy's gone up to your brain. And it's told the brain there's an interruption in the energy field. And guess what? It then says, hey, we have to go ahead and fix it. And so they change the energy signals. At the point of where you got cut was a negative sign. And next thing you know, it's a positive sign. So at the tips of your fingers, you run negative energy. And when you cut yourself, it turns into positive energy. And so what happens is your brain feels the interruption in the flow of energy, and it's received as pain. And I think that when you have that pain, it's a pretty important gift, because without the pain stimulating the brain, it doesn't know to go down there and send out the little cells from your bone called stem cells to fix the wound. So that's not a biochemical thing. That's an energy thing. Now, yes, there could be biochemistry involved, but before that happens, there is a change in the energy field of the body. And so that's how the electrical side of your body starts to make your body heal. Now, there's a magnetic side to the body as well, and it's got a personality of its own. It spins around and drives things, and it comes, from, I think it's the pituitary. No, I think it's, I just lost my thought. Anyway, you have two points of energy. One is your pituitary gland, and the other one is your pineal gland. And they both run energy. And so in the sign of the caduceus, the positive and negative coils of the snake are represented by the pituitary gland and the pineal gland. And both of these symbols represent different energy charges. So when you're in a state of healing, we're actually working with the energy fields of electricity and magnetism or magnets, and then you go on to influence the shape and the flow of light. Now, how does light come into the body? It comes in through the eyes. And that's another amazing thing to look at. You can see in the eyes of your animals that within the pupil, there is shape and form. And around the pupil, there's like a halo, a moon shape. And in this halo, the iris, there are bands, stratus, strings, bars that radiate out from the iris. And in these bars are held some really amazing pieces of information. And in those places, if you take a mirror and look at your own eyes, you may see a black ring around the outside of your iris. You may see yellow around the edge of the pupil. You may see dark streaks coming from the pupil out to the edge of the eye. You may see dots or white. And depending on the location of these occurrences in the eye, you're able to tell really what is wrong, how to fix the body, where to channel the energy, how to balance it and make it better. So let's just think about this a minute. Medicine tries to balance our bodies using chemicals. natural healers try to balance our bodies using herbs and minerals and intent. And we really don't talk about the energy and the types of energy that flow through the body and how we could even do better than what we're doing today. So I think we'll just take a break here. Have a sigh. Have a sip on your tea. And I'll be back in a few minutes. This is Isologic Radio. I'm back. Everything is good. Wow. Take a breath again. And then think about energy and your animal's body. Have you ever watched their behavior? Maybe two dogs meet each other for the first time and they stand straight up, statuesque, point their tails, stare at each other straight in the eye. What are they doing? What are they saying? Two cats out in the alley strut their stuff. They stare each other down and one will back away. How do they know? Horses will come up and strut around and scream and say, "Hi, I'm me. And I'm not available to have a date with you tonight." And then they'll stand back and they'll look at each other straight in the eye. And when you first meet somebody, do you look them in the eye or do you look away? You see, in the animal world, when animals look away, that means that they're weak or they have something to hide. They don't want you to know. But the other thing is, when they look you straight in the eye, they're saying, "Hey, I'm really, really capable of handling myself, and I'm not afraid of you or anything else in the world." It's pretty amazing just by looking at the eyes. Now, if the eyes are the place where the light comes into the body, and every time there's a trauma or an injury or a disease or dysfunction of an organ in the body, it shows up in the eye. And I also think that when animals are looking at each other, sizing each other up as to who's better than the other, that the way the energy radiating in and out of the eyes actually creates a sensory pattern that they can feel. You know, you watch National Geographic or any of those animal shows and you watch the birds and they do their mating dance. And I think it's the boobies or something, blue-billed boobies, blue-headed boobies out in the Galapagos Islands. And they waddle their heads from one side to the other. And I think they're kind of spreading their radiant eye energy around the partner that they're trying to pick. I think they're trying to say, "Hey, look, I'm healthy, I'm strong. My eyes are radiating how healthy and strong I am." When an animal's sick, their eyes get dull and they shut down, they move away. They don't really make contact with you. I think it's because they're trying to hold their energy, this pulsing, radiant energy that enters into the acupuncture meridians. It also is driven up and down the spine. I think they try to hold that energy inside who they are. Because you see, when you are depleted, your body can't recharge. You don't have any energy to give away. And when you look into somebody's eyes, there's that immediate contact, the depth, the meaning. So when you look into somebody's eyes, you're sharing a lot more than just saying, hi. You're saying, hi, I happen to have a sore neck, and my left hip hurts, and my liver is plugged up, and I have the same problem in health as you do. Maybe like is attracted to like. Maybe we could get along and share space together. Yes. The light that goes into your eyes falls into your brain, and it is transformed into an oil that runs down into your spinal cord. It puts into a charge that is worked up and down by the charge that comes off the pituitary gland. Now, the liquid that's in the pituitary gland is yellow, and it has a lot of electrical properties. And the pituitary gland fluid is white, and that is your magnetic property. And your pineal gland produces a color of yellow, and that is the electrical property. And if we have chakras, if we have serpents wrapped around our spine, these are the energies that drive the fluid, the spinal fluid, up and down, like a pump, pulsing, spreading the energy through the nerves out to the body. So when you have a horse and he says, I can't turn to the right or to the left, oh, I have a stiff neck. Or when you have a dog and he's running around and he has the ball in his mouth all the time. Or maybe it's your cat, and instead of sleeping on his side, he sleeps on his back. All of these positions that they take and all the things that they do are little hints to suggest that that spine, the gateway that flows full of the oil of life, has a kink in it. And to make sure that the energy goes through the length of the body, they have to do certain things to try and make it so that the surge of life and their spirit can go all the way down their spine and come all the way back up to their brain and all the way down again. And this pumping action is interrupted every time there is a twist in the back or trauma, and or a birth memory that causes the bones of the back to turn. Now, there's a lot of different philosophies, and there's a lot of different healing arts. But what I have discovered is, unless the spine can be held straight, that life flow, the charge between the magnet and the electricity and the photon that runs up and down the spinal column, if those things can be straight, it's amazing what can happen. And there's gateways. And I think that when we're formed in the physical body, that there's specific areas that get twisted and kinked and shut off, just like a hose. And when those things happen, it creates a dysfunction in how we interpret and absorb the energy from all the things around us. I think it sets and creates a pattern of emotional responses in a human being. I think those kinks in your spine, the birth trauma, the memories that are locked in everything you do with your body, everything the dog does, the cat does, those kinks are a program that basically outline how you're going to react and how well you're going to do in life. So, these are some pretty big things to think about, but they all go back to how we can heal our animals and how we can perhaps heal ourselves and step away from the dualism and the darkness and just be neutral, be positive, and look after ourselves. So I'm going to take a break here, and if you like what I'm saying, drop me a line at isologicradio@gmail.com. I'm back. Spirals of energy, straight lines shooting through the world. Oils running up and down the spinal column. The brain, the eyes, and a twisted back. Just watch your animals and see what they do. Dogs, cats, horses, cows, they all have the same basic twists. Now, sometimes there's exceptions to the rule because sometimes animals are born upside down, backwards. I think people come that way too. But when they are born naturally, there's a consistent pattern. It's kind of like a road map. And every place that there's a twist, I think it blocks a frequency of energy. The inability to really let the flow of charge and discharge, positive and negative, actually work to its most efficient capability. And what is that capability? Well, what I've found by rebirthing animals on a cellular level and asking the lines, the grids, not just of the electromagnetic field that goes around the spine, but also the electromagnetic field that goes around every cell of the body. When you can get all of these things to work in unity, it tends to supercharge the body. And the more energy that the body can hold, the more effective its own healing state becomes. Homeostasis. Medicine knows about homeostasis. Homeostasis is like a magic wand of regeneration, eternal youth. Chemists have been working for centuries to figure out how to stop the body from aging, how to live longer, how to improve the quality of life in the physical form. And when we step back and look at ourselves and our animals as energy, and if energy can flow through the body at the most efficient speed, sometimes it's faster than you and I can think, and sometimes it's slow enough for us to see. But for whatever speed, whatever frequency of energy moves through your animal's body, it needs to go through at the right speed. And when it doesn't, it creates these bubbles or hollows. And that's what acupuncturists feel. That's what they release when they open the gate at a meridian. sometimes when you're using your hand just over the side of your animal. You will feel heat coming off of one place and no heat coming off the other. Well, I'm sure in chemistry and biology there's all these explanations, but from an energetic point of view, these are puddles or these are leaking points in the body where the energy isn't able to travel because there's a kink, there's a blockage, there's a limitation. And so if we look at the spine and the rib cage basically as an antenna, an aerial, where the bone is twisted, it's kind of like a note on the piano. And when that bone is twisted, it's kind of a switch, and it shuts off the energy or that frequency or speed so that it can't travel out to that part of the body. It can't be as effective as it should be. So when we're born, when a dog is born, his birth trauma sets up his personality because the energy frequencies that we hold in our body drive or stimulate our emotional state. When you're sad, you are at a low point of energy. When you're depressed and really, really ill, it's even lower. When you're happy, it's up. When you're blissful, it's through the roof. And all of this emotional state basically responds to the amount of physical pain that's radiating back and forth between your nerves and your brain. And if there's enough energy in this system, and if you can hold it straight, and you can purify the system yourself by detoxifying, or your animals by detoxifying them, or feeding them better food, or taking them out for longer plays in the sunlight, you will find that they'll heal better because they hold more energy and it starts to flow in straight lines and can go out and do the job it's meant to do. And when it does happen, the body self-heals. Observations from the type of research I do have shown that when I straighten out a horse, not using chiropractics, but using cellular rebirthing, which straightens the spine and the ribs and ties them into the breastbone, and it discharges the energy signatures of trauma, what happens is the body shifts how it stands. Its posture straightens and becomes what it should be. And as that occurs, more energy surges out to, say, an old injury, a cut on a leg, or a injured limb, a joint. And as that energy reaches out to those damaged body parts, and it doesn't matter whether it's 4 days old or 2 years old or 10 years old, if enough energy can reach out to those places, the body actually starts to regenerate itself completely, not as bits and pieces, but as a whole living organism, a pillow of energy, electromagnetic energy, moving particles of slower moving light into a pattern that matches the blueprint held in the DNA of the cells of your body. Yeah, that's how it works from an energetic point of view. Now, other people may have different philosophies, and it may work, but what I am saying is my truth and my observations generated from working with some pretty damaged horses. You see, we have dogs and we walk them around on a leash and we might do clip their nails or dock their tails or cut their ears. But what a horse experiences in his life. Well, people need to sit down and really think seriously about how torturous the life of a horse really is. Yeah, you see, we put saddles on them and we sit on their backs. And they really don't mind that, even though their backs aren't meant to be sat on. But then we put a bit in their mouth, and that part is okay, as long as their teeth are not too sharp. And then we start pulling the bit, and we ask them to shorten their neck or run forward and let me pull on your mouth. And we don't really realize what we're doing to the horse. And when you walk a dog on a leash and you check him back, say, no, don't walk in front of me. Don't lunge at the other dog. Do you understand what you're doing to the neck, to the spine, to the gateways that allow the electromagnetic fields to push the power of life through the body of your dog? There are all these levels of consideration. Oh, take a breath. And I'll take a break, and I'll be back in a minute. Yes, energies all around us. Kind of walk through a soup of it. Wave your hand, and you might feel the surge of air rush past your fingers. That surge of air, like billions and trillions of particles of invisible energy. And those particles kind of make up who we are. I was trying to explain it to a person the other day. It's kind of like bubbles. And we just live in bubbles, and our cells are just bigger versions of the same bubble. And those cells hold the blueprint called DNA, and that blueprint can be released by using intent, your meditations, your request to heal. And you can actually do the same thing with your animals. Now, animals, I would say just about everyone has an injury, just like a human, between the skull and the first and second bones of the neck. They'll have another series of injuries halfway down the neck on a horse, and then again at the very base of the neck on both horses and dogs. Cats have the same injury at the spine, going into the head, and again at the base of the neck. And so there's a gateway between the head and the neck going into the body. And those are the first two gateways that I like to work with when I'm trying to heal a horse's body, trying to release the trauma of having a training rig put on him and told he has to move a certain way, arch his back up, make his body move, look pretty for the judge. You see, we don't really realize how much pressure we put on the animal when we put them in a harness and say, okay, you have to learn to stay that way. Learn to stay that way, and when you learn to stay that way, I'll take the harness off. Most trainers think that they're training the muscles, but what they're actually doing is they're tearing the muscles, because if the horse could do it on his own, he would. So when there's leverage and force applied to any animal, we don't quite understand that we're doing the exact opposite of what we're intending. And for this very reason, being incarnated as a horse under the watchful eye of man, I think is one of the most torturous lives that you could ever reincarnate in, because we do not know what we do. But we can help the animals. We can help the dog. Just look at your dog. Maybe go stand behind him, or watch how he sits. Watch how your cat sits. And look up the spine when they sit. Does it make an S curve? Is it straight? Does it look like zigzags dragging all the way up to their head? Well, these are good indications that maybe you should go and find somebody who can do some structural work. Maybe a chiropractor. Maybe a massage therapist. Maybe somebody who knows how to open up the energy gates. You see, if you can help your animal by supporting his structure, it reduces the wear and tear on his joints. He receives less pain signals from where the pain, where the damaged cells are, where the electrical charge of negative turns to positive and tells the brain, hey, we're hurt and you need to heal this. And the brain will heal it. But if the body is crooked, the damage will constantly repeat and repeat and repeat. And the pain will never really go away. And finally, the brain will say, I guess that's the way it is, so I don't have to send my energy there anymore. I can shut it off. And so it produces an opiate, a natural drug, and it just kind of deadens those nerves. And that's what allows the animal to work on through his own pain. I've seen horses that, if they were human beings, they would lay down and cry. But nope. They go out of their stalls and they're limping around and short striding, like a dog trotting sideways up the side of the road. They start moving and the pain gets shut off and they keep going and going and going. Just like an athlete from the Olympics or a football player, they push and they push and they push through the pain. And as they push through the pain, they just generate another layer of injury. There is an answer, though. If we could combine all the energetic and body balancing arts into one form and bring it to the point of rebirthing the body so it was taken back to a point in time before it actually was physically formed, and we could change the signature of energy that shared between the mother's body and that of her child, the emergence of a new way of developing, a new way of holding the body straight, a quantum shift of every cell would allow the body to be straight, to have erased all memory, all the injuries, all the emotional pain. It would all melt away. And instead, the energy system of the brain, the spinal cord, the pituitary gland, the pineal gland, and the negative energy, positive energy that's expressed from the spine and the nerves down to the ground could work in its most efficient form. A miracle. The self-correcting, regenerative body. And if it's in its most efficient state, I have a theory that if it would stay in a straight, alignment, a harmonic place, that the speed of cellular regeneration, the thing that heals, the thing that replaces the missing cells of the body when it may die every day, would be so efficient that maybe we could live like Moses and all his ancestors in the Bible for hundreds and hundreds of years. Now there's a thought. The regenerative process of the body is a possibility if we would change the way we address healing from just fixing a broken part, fixing a disease, to actually rebalancing the birth imprint, the harmonics of a new formed soul, and allowing it to be as straight as possible, as dictated by the original blueprint found in the cellular DNA. See, the cells hold the history of how we were shaped and all the traumas experienced in the generations of life before us. So take a moment and love your animal. It's a good day to be here talking and sharing a moment with you. This is Esologic Radio, and if you want to find out more about my type of work, visit my website. It's the balancedhorseproject.net, thebalancedhorseproject.net, or reach out and send me an email at esologicradio@gmail.com. Take a breath. Love yourself. And I'll be back next time. Bye now. Warm. It's been cold outside. The wind whipping through my hair. My cheeks are so red and burnt. Been out trying to make things happen. But, you know, you just can't make things happen. And animals, they do, and people will do what they do. The only thing you can hope for is that little thought that runs through your head that says, I should have shut the gate. The animals won't get out if I shut the gate. Instead of being lazy, just walking through the gate, running to the barn and running back to the house. If I just listened to my voice, I would have saved myself about a half an hour's worth of work. Just makes you wonder why you don't listen to yourself. This is Esologic Radio, and I'm your host, Patricia Cleveland, and we're here to kind of wander through the ideas that come from animals, through nature, and into our lives. Yeah, it's kind of a miracle how your body tells you what to do, and your brain just says, forget it, you can do this, you can get away with it. Have you ever had those moments, that connection that you choose to ignore? Yeah. Well, I think animals have those connections too. You'll watch an animal, they'll run across and maybe do something like, dart across the road. But maybe just before they dart across the road, there's that hesitation, that moment that says, hey, dude, that ain't too cool. You could kind of get wiped out here. Yeah. You see that in domesticated animals. A lot of them will stop and think, or there's that pause in the action that they provide. But you really don't see that in wild animals. And I really wonder why. You know, I drive at night and I do a lot of traveling, and I sometimes I go through a lot of country where there's herds, literally hundreds of deer not one or two. And when you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you're surrounded by hooves and antlers and flashing white tails, you kind of go, what the heck? Ah, it's kind of like, I don't know, mobbed by deer. But they don't care. They're totally oblivious to your presence. They don't know you're there. They don't know that they can get hit by the car. They don't know that their legs could be broken. They could die. It's kind of upsetting, you know, because I have actually hit one deer, and I just really felt terrible. And she ran off into the woods with a broken leg, and I don't know what happened, but she most probably died. Something most probably had her for dinner. But I guess that's the facts of life. But animals in the wild think differently than people. They think much differently than their domestic counterparts. You see, you can be around an animal and you will get the impression of what he's thinking. And you may not have to be psychic to do that. You could just be very observant, as some people say. I am very observant of that dog's posture, and he's telling me that I'm invading his space, and I really don't have permission to be here. And you instinctively know that. But you won't know this. Sometimes you will meet a dog, and you will reach down to pat it. And you, being the human, just think you have the right to pat the dog. But have you ever considered what happens when you pat the dog? Does he lower his head? Does he kind of move away? Does he curl his neck? Does he snarl and bite? Those are all things that we tend to not be aware of before they happen. We kind of move in. We want to touch the dog. We want to instinctively interact with his well-being. And we come to the animal thinking that, hey, this is cool. This is a nice-looking dog. And his owner is a wonderful person. And he's on the leash. And everything will be fine. And you may ask permission to touch the dog from his owner. But have you ever asked permission of the dog? No, we tend to not think that way because the dog just is a dog, right? And you don't understand that maybe that dog has a twisted neck from being on the leash. You don't understand that maybe he's got a twist in his shoulders or at the base of his neck. And that when you reach down to pat on his head, it's pushing it down or asking it to take pressure. Pat, 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 pat. On a place that could be really sore. And so the dog is going to tell you very nicely, don't do that. That's where the gesturing comes in. You may reach down with your hand to say, I want to touch you here. And the dog will lower his head and slink away. Or he may stand still and brace. Those are his indications as to whether you should proceed to touch him where your hand is directed or not. And why is your hand directed there? Your inner voice isn't talking to you at all. Your instinct, your subconscious, your spiritual self, the natural healer, reaches out with a healing hand. And you don't understand what happens. Your hand is automatically attracted to where the dog or the cat or the horse may have an injury or an energy block, but it'll be a place of pain. And in our subconscious knowing, we reach out. And our hands have power in them. Our hands have wheels that push energy out and bring energy in, the chakras. And as our hand moves towards the dog, we move through what's called his aura, his electromagnetic field, the thing that holds his shape. It wraps around him like a suit. And you push your hand into his energy field, and it activates your intent. Now, if you intend to touch the dog, you've already triggered a healing action. But if you want to just touch the dog, say, "Hey, dog, I'm me." Are you healing the dog? Are you taking his energy? And what is his reaction to this? Same thing with the cat. Now, cats run a different kind of energy. They're kind of spring-loaded. Harmonics on a totally different field than a dog. But a cat has the same problem. He may be painful. He may say, "I don't know if I want you to touch me here, so I'm going to arch my back and push into you, and while I do that, I'll protect the side I don't want you to touch." Horses are very interesting when you go to touch a horse. Quite often, they'll allow you to work with them and go on and be with them on the left side. And before you know it, you want to go to the right side. And they say no. Take a breath and say, "I am going to be compassionate today. I'm going to take a break and let you know that this is Patricia Cleveland and Easologic Radio. We'll be back in a few minutes to make you smile." Oh, I'm finally getting warmed up. My fingers are actually cold. I've been out and playing around with the animals. And then I come in here and I try to focus on really what it feels like to be an energy healer. See, I think we're all energetic healers. We just don't really realize it. We live with our animals and we touch them, and we have emotional moments with them because they are really part of our families. They are part of our lives. And sometimes our intent to heal an animal can be totally, totally subconscious. It can come from the heart. Your hands will reach out and they will be attracted to an animal's place. Just touch him lightly. Don't reach down and push hard. Just touch him like a feather brushing the air. Horses are very interesting because they tend to illustrate very clearly what they want and what they don't want. And this tends to scare a lot of people away from thinking. It tends to make us react rather than stand still and actually honor what's being said, I guess is the best way. If you watch a horse, they're led on the left side, which means the right side of who you are, the energy side, the spiritual side, the artistic side, the side that thinks about all the things I'm talking about today, is close to the left side of the horse. And the left side of the horse is where the expression of the right side of the brain comes through. So when I am working on the left side of the horse, he's in my energy field. And maybe he picks up a little bit on the intuitive fact of who I am. But when I go and stand in front of the horse and ask him to look me straight in the eye, he can't do it. He can't see me if I stand up too close. He can sense me. He knows I'm there. His emotional field, the thing that's projected through the forehead, his sixth eye, can sense me there. And if I move back maybe, 10 feet, 5 feet, he can focus on me. But if I ask him to stand straight in front of me and look at me straight, a very large number of horses will only share their left eye. They don't want you to go to the right-hand side. And my job is to go to the right-hand side. And it's very interesting. There's patterns of energy blocks and spirals of energy blocks, and they go on through the body from the very top of the forehead to the very tip of the tail. And one of the most painful energy blocks, not only in the horse, but in the dog, or in the cat, or in your cow, or your goat, your salamander, will be found on the right-hand side, right down along the shoulder blade as it rolls around to the center of the chest. Right here is the pain of being twisted at birth. And then there's another very interesting place. Yes, and it's not on the right-hand side. It's often found on the left-hand side. And it's right between the front legs. I call it the anger box, the red place. It's where I think the inability to express the truth of maybe who they are, what they've experienced, maybe the pain they've taken on from their owners. That little box of energy. Yes, it's there, and it's right under, right between the forearm and the breastbone, on the underside of the horse, on the underside of the dog. And don't go in there with the intent of trying to physically heal it, because it won't heal. No. That is a place where energy work needs to be done. Reiki, rebirthing, or you just filling yourself up with compassion and taking your finger and moving it towards the place of pain, the emotional pain, and asking it to leave the heart of the dog, leave the heart of the horse, leave the heart of the cat, and take your finger and make a spiral from the smallest point out to be big and wide, and make it a spring and run it down to the ground and touch the ground with your finger. And then just think of an upside down tornado pulling the emotional pain away from the body. You can do the same thing for yourself. Yes. Feel on your body. Feel along the collarbone on the left side of your body. Go down and run out from your breastbone along your rib. And you'll find a place before you get to where your shoulder ties in to your body. It'll be underneath the collarbone, maybe at the second rib, but in along there, that muscle band on the left-hand side. Go ahead, feel it. Take your fingers. There will be a place there, and it's painful. It may make you shriek if you go to the massage therapist. This is where there's a lymphatic drain. There's a gateway. I think if we were on all four legs, just like the dog or the cat or the horse, this would be the place, the red box, the emotional box of anger. This is where I think it's held. Yes. And so maybe while you're working with your animal, you might want to take a moment and press in on that place of pain and take your finger and make a spiral away and have the intent of that spiral taking the energy of that unexpressed emotion, that pain that you hold inside of who you are, and let it drift away into the energy field of the earth. Let it go. And as you do this, just let everything that worries you move into that point and let it leave. If you have a state of disease, this is the doorway to not try to kill it off. This is the doorway to invite it to leave your body through. It can leave through the portal. It can leave through this pain point. Yes, it can spiral out and move away. Leave your body. It has the right to be. Yes, it does. But it doesn't need to be affecting you. You can do the same thing for your animals. You can ask their state of disease to move out and spiral back into the energy field of the earth. You see, we're not supposed to kill things. We're just supposed to ask them to share space and move on. Oh, do you feel that? Have you touched it? Is it spiraling? Take a breath. Try it again. This is Patricia Cleveland and Isologic Radio. I'll be back in a minute. Have you tried moving the energy out of your emotional box? You see, we all have the ability to do this. It's not that one person is super psychic, or one person is super gifted, or one person is super smart. No, I think we all come from one place of knowing. We come from one place of creation. It's whether you're brave enough to acknowledge the gifts that you're given. So when people call me about their animals or ask me to help them, what happens is I have to give them permission to actually become part of healing their own animals. So that's a gift. That's a gift I will share with you. Sit down and just breathe. And think about how you feel. And let any concerns that you have, any disease, any infections, any emotional wounds, let them just move through you. And they can move out through that little spiral, that little touch on your energy cord. And you can release the energy out and ask it to move away from you and find a place that's better suited for it to live, for it to be. Yeah, sometimes you think that nothing else has consciousness, only you. But I do think that disease has consciousness, and I do think that pain kind of has a life of its own sometimes. I think that having spontaneous laughter creates a consciousness. I think joy, kind of helps release and encourage and welcome things to change their conscious place. And when you have compassion, compassion is a really good tool. And this is why. You see, most people go and they believe in the light, the good, the wonderful part of being human. And they focus all their energy on the light, the stardust, the universal power, the creative force. And in that moment, they turn their back on the dark, the negative, the thing that we don't want to talk about. That charge that we are totally afraid of. And you see, when we turn our back on the things that we don't want to deal with, and we only focus on the light, what happens is we focus and concentrate so much on the light that our energy stream becomes almost like a laser. A very intense, sharp beam. But what happens to all the space around us if our energy focus is only on the light? Kind of makes room for a lot of darkness to swirl around. Now, darkness can't really ever be seen because we do have light. We are of the light. And if we try to see the darkness, we can't see it. It can't stand in the presence of the light. No, it has to hide. It has to move out of our space. So when we are focused on compassion, what that does is it puts our energy of light and dark into a place where they're balanced. Not the kind of compassion that go, oh yeah, I feel sorry for you today. I know you're having a bad day. But really heartfelt compassion. Like the compassion of, wow, how can we all come together and make this better? The compassion coming from the heart. Not from the gesture, not from the word, but from the heart. And when your heart is in that compassionate state, it allows you to recognize the presence of the darkness, the pain, the negative, the demons, whatever you assign to it. And we need to acknowledge the darkness because it wants to be acknowledged. We don't have to be darkness. We just have to acknowledge its presence. And we do that. It says, oh, thank you for seeing me. I don't have to act out like a little child. I don't have to be destructive to get your attention. You see me. You acknowledge me. That's good. That's all I want is just to be acknowledged. And in your place of compassion, that's what allows you to interact with the darkness. And it allows you to interact with the light. And between the two states, you hold the creative force. As the healer, you can take the power of the darkness and talk to the thing that may be inside your animal making it sick and say, hey, cancer, I acknowledge you're there. I see you. I know what your role is. I give you permission to exist. I see you in the body of my dog. I'm going to touch a place on my dog's chest, and I'm going to create a gateway. In darkness, cancer, I give you permission to leave. You no longer have to be housed in this body. I give you permission to go out into the world and to find the place that is your home. And live there. I don't wish you ill. I don't need to kill you. I need to give you permission to find the place that you came from, your original domain. I give you permission to move out of the body of my dog. Take a breath and touch the dog, touch your cat, or touch yourself. And that place, that emotional place, the red box of anger, and open the gateway and let the darkness flow out of you. Let it leave. This is powerful healing moments. You can do this every day. You can do this for other people. But spiritually, always ask permission before you enter in and ask or try to help. Because sometimes people need to go through the experiences that they're going through. And sometimes the darkness, the cancer, actually takes over the person's individual self. I've talked to lots of cancer patients. And at a certain point, you're no longer talking to the pure light of the being that originally filled the body. I have talked to people who are wanting answers. But when it comes down to actually taking the action to help themselves, something stops them. Something takes over the conscious thinking. The tone of the voice may change. In my case, I see a darkness, a fog that creates, flows around them and blankets them and shuts them off. They can't go to the light. They can't be the light, because right now, the darkness is there and it's doing its job. It's living in a domain that's not its to consume. Oh, I'm going to just take a moment here, let you process all that. If you like what you hear, reach out and touch me. It's Patricia Cleveland at ESOLOGIC Radio, and you can reach me at esologicradio@gmail.com. I'm going to let you just sink in, relax, and I'll be back in a minute. Yeah, if you just go, let it rattle all the way down into your heart, it'll fill you up. Sometimes just being in touch with yourself by making sounds like, is a good thing to do. It actually reminds you that you're all there. Sometimes it's important to realize, too, when you're doing work with animals or with other people, that when we touch, when we make eye contact, when our voices reach out and share space, that we create this, I'm going to call it a cord. It's a connection. There's an exchange of energy. And when that exchange is going on, it's a sharing of energy. And sometimes when you're with people who are energetically weak, that is, their bodies can't get enough energy into them, and they're discharging energy because maybe either the food that they take in isn't full of life, or maybe some of the drugs that they're on require their personal energy to create the chemical reaction. And their state of disease is overrunning them. And they just don't have the resources. They will tap into who you are through this energy cord. Have you ever met somebody and you've talked to them for a few minutes, and when you walk away, you feel drained? That's somebody tapping in and sucking some of your energy out of your field to prop up their energy depletion. Animals, sick animals, will do the same thing. Sometimes you just have to let them have that energy if you are healthy. But when you do an energy healing, and it doesn't matter if you're just an owner with a dog or a cat that you love really, really a lot, if it's a person, when you are finished your interaction, take a minute and pretend. I don't care whether you envision a knife cutting the space between you and the animal or the person, or a pair of scissors, or you physically take your hand and slice the air, or you pre-program your body to say, hey, I'm going to snap my fingers. And that's a sign that my body, my energy body, my energy field is going to disconnect from all the energy fields that I just encountered. It's kind of like unplugging so that you don't take on the problem, so that you don't deplete yourself, so that you can stay whole. Yep. And then you can laugh. Laugh and laugh and laugh. Have fun. Laugh around your sick animals. Don't be all scared and worrisome and feeling guilty and helpless. No, that's not what they want. They want to hear laughter. They want to hear joy. Because just by changing the harmonics, that emotional state, you change how they are able to take in little whiffs of joy and energy, the lightness of who they are. Because you see, it's hard. If everything is heavy and negative, grieving, scared, fearful, guilt, and you feel awful and somebody comes around you and that's how they're feeling, well, does it make you feel any better? No. No, it actually makes you feel worse. And it totally rattles my brain sometimes. I see people who take their animals to the vet. And yes, if that's a good thing for you, do it. But when the vet tells you there's a problem with your animal, don't start going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh, this is terrible, this is bad news. No, 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 don't go there. Because then the next thing the vet is going to do is he's going to psychologically, on a subconscious level, start imprinting a pattern of emotions. Guilt. Guilt is the first one. Fear. Fear of losing your animal, your source of unconditional love. Fear and guilt. If those two things come up while you're in a conversation with the vet or with the doctor or with a healer or with another person who is helping you solve a problem in life, take a breath. Start laughing. Laugh in your head if you have to, if it's not the right situation. But start laughing. Because you see, as soon as you start working, thinking from a position of fear or guilt, you're only going to return to running painful energy for your animal or painful energy for yourself. You see, they're planting the seeds for controlling how you think. And who they are is something for you to decide. But there's a lot of energy games involved in going outside of your domain and interacting with systems that we're told are here to help. And maybe they are here to help. But when they've lost their connection to being energetically aware, and yet we're supposed to be a spirit, we're supposed to have a soul, and quantum physics tells us we're energy, and that is not something that's included in your veterinary's conversation, in your doctor's frame of reference, then they only know part of the truth of healing. They only know part of the truth of life. And so take their information, and where it starts to get heavy and burdensome, in your head, pick something, a color, somebody dressed up funny, and laugh inside. Because what it'll do is it'll bring you to a point of clarity. And when you get to the point of, okay, I heard his words, but they didn't stick to me. I've got the information. Take another deep breath and hold compassion. Stay neutral. Don't run and deal with the negatives, the darkness that's in your animal or in the operating experience of the people that are trying to help you with the animal. Don't fall into the negative energy. Hold in your heart compassion. You can hold love when you get home. If you're taking your animal back home from the vet, fill your car up with love. Make it a bubble of love. Make yourself a bubble of love. But in moments where life is imbalanced and you're not sure, go to be compassionate. And compassion, apply it to yourself as well as others. You see, when we're in a compassionate state, we can do anything. We are empowered with the internal knowing of all love. And we're able to channel it to bring balance to the things that are dark. Well, I think it's time to take a breath. Say, I hope you have a wonderful day. This is Patricia Cleveland and Isologic Radio. Enjoy. What do you think is going on in the world today? Push and pull, wars, no wars. Don't need any of it, do we? Have you actually thought about the animals that go through all the trauma of war? It must be just mind-boggling to one day live in a house and have people that love you, care for you, provide you with food and water. And the next thing you know, you're out on the street. Oh my gosh. It must be very upsetting, scary stuff. Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine being a dog used by the military to go in and sniff out things and maybe find a bomb? And you don't really know that your life is on the line, and you do your job, and you die? Or how about during the First World War, or maybe during the Indian Wars, or maybe the Napoleonic Wars? All the animals that were used to try and kill men must leave a huge emotional scar on the psyche of animals. And maybe that's why they look at us as, do we trust you or don't we trust you? So when I work with animals like horses, I find out that they have this whole generation, this whole culture of not knowing whether to trust people or not to trust people. And when you start to do this type of work, all of a sudden, they go, hey, she's not like the other people. She's not forcing me to do this type of work or making me stand still when it really hurts to stand still. She understands. When an animal actually grasps the fact that you're there to help them energetically and emotionally, they change their persona. It's like everything that I went through, everything that my parents went through, it's like the family history. Everything that we do, all the pain we've experienced, well, guess what? It's because of you stupid human beings. Selfish, selfish people. And yet, we keep coming towards you and saying, hey, there's some lessons to be learned. Have you ever felt pure joy from an animal? I don't think so. You've seen their love, you know that, and you've seen them maybe not so happy, but there's this way an animal is when they get to the point where they see who you are energetically and they realize that you see them energetically as well. Yeah, it's kind of like springs. Kind of like a French poodle jumping up and down, except there's a smile. There's a smile in the face. There's eyes that twinkle. Horses. Horses express joy between a horse and a human in a very interesting way. It's not like a dog. It's kind of like an intellectual conversation. It's like finally they can talk to you openly. They can share themselves. It's like, wow, wow, I can actually tell you about my experience with that other horse out in the field. I think that she's got a problem, and maybe you should go over there and help her. And man, I just appreciate you so much. You see, animals express love differently than human beings. You see, we love animals, and they give us love back. But it's not their type of love to give. It's our type of love. I think our intent, the human ability to create using energy fields, I think that we create our own love and redirect it back to us from the actions of our animals. And the animal is quite willing to be the conduit to share love, to make a human smile. To say, yeah, everything's okay. They like to do that for us. But on an energetic level, when they strip off the clothing that we put on their backs, when they drop the mask of hiding and being stupid animals, we start to see that they have a personality. And that they are very, very self-aware. Have you ever watched a dog or a cat or a horse when they walk past a mirror? They go, hey, hey, who's that? And then finally they figure it out. It's a reflection of themselves. And they stand there and they look and they go, that's what I look like when I wag my tail. Or a horse will go around the riding ring with indoor mirrors. And the rider will sit up there and check their position and see what they look like. And the horse will go along and lift his head and break the beautiful picture that the right rider is looking to create and say, geez, I'm good looking. Look at me go around the ring. And the rider goes, no, 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 no. You can't look in the mirror. You got to keep going. Keep going. There's an intellectual side to animals. And science is going to contradictory. They're going to say it's behavior. Well, when you have animals around you 24 hours, 7 days a week, you understand that they are very, very intelligent. They have the ability to problem solve. Now, they might not be able to solve the problems the same way that you or I do, because they use their intellect in a different way. And they communicate with language in a different way. You see, a lot of people just look at gestures and actions and say, okay, well, that cat's mad, or that dog's happy, or that horse, oh man, that horse just really, really, really is hungry. He's running over top of me to get to his food. Yeah, we look at all the physical things, but somehow we aren't looking at the real animal. I think it's our projection of who we are and what we really want to see. Yeah, that's it. We may be projecting our own intent on these animals. Yes, take a minute and think about that. Are you actually seeing the real animal, or are you seeing a part of you projected back from the animal soul? People think I'm kind of crazy when I walk into traditional barns and I place my hand near a horse and he reaches out and touches my hand with his nose. And then I'll stand off to the side and I'll listen to the bantering of the people telling me all the negative news I don't need to know. And then, guess what? I intuitively start getting pictures and messages from the horse. Do you ever have that? Sometimes you think it's your instinct talking to you, a little voice in your head. I'd give you something to think about. This is Esologic Radio and Patricia Cleveland, and I'm just going to pop out for a minute. I'll be back soon. Thinking about all of this just makes your head spin sometimes, because there's so much information. There's so many levels to think about. See, we think animals are just really simple, but in reality, there are cultures and there are languages. And sometimes I try to explain it like the culture of the horse would be like going to, I don't know, let's say France. The culture of the dog would be like going to, let's say Argentina. And the cat, Spain. Yeah. And you'd pick a country for every animal. And in each country, they have their own specific language. And between the provinces of those countries, or the different breeds of, say, different breeds of dog, or different breeds of horses, different breeds of cats, they have these subtle changes in their language. They have the same basic language, and they will share their language between each other. They share their cultures. But they have little just changes in dialect. It's kind of interesting to watch horses out in the field, because you'll see them. You'll see quarter horses in one little herd, and you'll see Arab horses in another herd. You will see warm bloods. Those are the horses that come out of Europe, the big jumping horses and dressage horses. You'll see these warm blood horses, and hey, over there, thoroughbreds will be grazing. They speak their own dialect. And then there's another level of language, and it's an energetic level. And there's a saying that like is attracted to like. And sometimes you can spot an animal who has a sickness or a disease or maybe the same type of injury. Okay? So say, I know that my horse, Ariel, my horse Ariel has a tendinal injury on her left front leg. And she will go out in a mixed herd of horses. And within a day or two, odds are she's going to be friends with another horse that has the same injury or almost the same injury. They get together. They share their stories. And when one can't kind of do something, the other one tries to make a space in the crowd to allow the friend to be able to catch up. They create relationships and partnerships. You see, sometimes we don't understand that when we buy a dog or we get a horse. We take it out of the herd. We move it away from its family or its friends. How would you feel if somebody from, I don't know, let's say planet Mars comes down, picks you up, takes you off in the spaceship, and they're talking all this stuff and they're really trying to make you comfortable and care for you. You don't understand a word they're saying. You don't know where you're going. You haven't got a clue. You've basically been kidnapped from your family and your friends. How devastating is that? Do you know if you'll ever see them again? It's a rather heart-wrenching situation. And it imprints into the energy body. Okay? Just like going to war scars a soldier's mind. That scarring goes into the energy signature of that animal or of that person. And you see, that knowledge, that experience, is then transmitted and imprinted into the cell, that memory bank, the thing that makes up the DNA, the chromosomes that are shared when new life is formed. And it's kind of like the historical library, the hard wiring of a horse when he's born. He knows to stand up. And he doesn't need a roadmap to know where to go to nurse. Okay? It's hardwired. It comes from that intuitive, instinctive knowing. But there's wounds and there's historical stories or knowing. It's passed from one generation of animal to the next. You see, one of my goals is, as a person that opens up animals through rebirthing, is to remove this terrible memory of animals that go to war and die, or animals that experience misplaced anger from people. Or animals that just don't have a chance. They don't know what to do. They don't have an option. They can't get away. And sometimes they actually decide to commit suicide or surrender and die. So all these stories are locked in the body of your dog and your horse and your cat. And when you do rebirthing work, you go in. And what you do is you try to unwind the history of the animal. And like most people will talk about the physical body that we see, that we feel, we interact with right now. And we only look at the traumatic history of, oh, I got this dog from the rescue and la-da-da-da-da happened to the dog. But they don't understand when I do rebirthing work, I try to unwind that memory. And if I can reach far enough back, I try to unwind the memory of what happened to that dog's parents and maybe his grandparents and on and on. And my hope and my goal is to actually change how we interact, how we communicate with animals. Because right now, they're like people at the cocktail party, and they're all wearing their plastic face. They're doing their jobs. They're playing the role. They're pacifying the human being. They're not letting us in. They're not showing us their true higher self, because we haven't earned the right. That's a pretty hard thing to think, because you know you love your dog and you treat it really well and you love your cat and play with it. But try and touch them with your soul. Instead of touching them physically, just pretend you're petting a space that shadows the shape of the animal and the energy field. Just take your hand. Just hold compassion. Not, hi, this is who I am, I'm touching you. But just feel me. It's okay. I promise I'll try to change the way you think about human beings. Yeah, it's a pretty big deal. Animals experience massive amount of trauma. And a lot of it is emotional trauma. And that is a direct reflection of what we do to ourselves. So maybe the next time you're dealing with somebody who's going through some pretty traumatic states, you'll go back to the place of compassion and just hold space and wait and don't push and let them show you the truth of what they can show you and accept it with grace and let them know it's okay. I see you in a way that you'll never understand. Oh, take a breath. Give yourself a hug. Fill up with love and joy. Go outside. Enjoy your day. This is Patricia Cleveland, Ethologic Radio, saying till next time, bye for now.